do an emergency surgery, and she has a big part of it removed. And she goes through so much in this whole time. In the second part of the interview, part two, she discovers that her husband is still having the affair and did not let it totally go. And she also discovers, she takes some time away from herself and just separates herself from the ministry and all of her busyness to really care for herself. And she makes all these doctor appointments, and sure enough, one of them is to have a mammogram. And on top of that, they discover that she has breast cancer, on top of everything that she's going through. And so it's a wonderful two-part series. If you're interested in that, I would love to share it with you. Let me know, and I can send you the links. I shared it with a couple of friends at work, another precious individual who you think you're going through so much. And yes, you are, and I don't want to diminish what you're going through, but sometimes there's somebody out there who's going through so much more. This lady had to come up out with her story publicly. She did not want this to be her story. But here she is, a very public figure, and the information is going to come out. So she decides to proactively put her story out there so she doesn't have to reactively answer all the questions that it's going to lead to. So she tells it in a wonderful, wonderful way. But I just wanted to share that with you because I discovered this. I've been able to share this information with a couple of people at work who I felt were going through so much in their lives. And here's a lady who also, who would think, mm-hmm. you know, that this would happen to her, and it does. And just her process on how she goes through it and how she responds to her husband. After, I think, 3 years, I did go on and I kind of looked at her page, and it looks like they did renew their vows, and they are still together after that whole journey that she goes through. So it's just a wonderful testimony of God and his goodness, and he's there for you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. So just needed to share that with you. And again, if you want to listen to this, I can certainly send you the links. It is Focus on the Family, which is another wonderful ministry. She does a two-part series with them.
You know, when you said that, it recalled a memory about that time. In 2013, we went through the hardest. We've done 21 days of prayer and fasting for probably almost coming on a decade now, and it's been part of our church, and we're thankful for it. But about that time, I remember we entered the hardest time that our church, we were in our other building, believing God for this building, and something happened with our church that many of you will immediately know, okay, I know what it was, and it shook our church, and it was almost to the point of, are we even going to exist after this happens? And I thought, why is this happening after 21, when we're doing this 21 day of prayer and fasting, we should be getting blessed, right? So I'm doing God's will, but it's like Irma said, the sometimes things rise to the surface that need to be out so you can go on. And that needed to get out so we could go on. Do you remember that, right? Babe, you're so a blessing to me. Would you pray for me? I know I put you on the spot, but bless the congregation and let's bless our people today together.
Thank you, thank you, Lord, for each individual who came here this morning, Father, to hear a message, to hear a word from you, Lord. First of all, thank you for the 21 days of prayer and fasting. Thank you for, it's going to shore us up for 2019, Father. We just pray that this year is going to be a year of blessing for each individual here, Father. But no matter what happens, we live on this earth. It's a fallen earth, Father, mm-hmm. that we're prepared, Father, spiritually, Father, as much as possible, as much as we can, Lord. We're praying for our children. We're praying for the most important things in our life. We're praying to be debt-free, that this building is debt-free, Father. That's one of the items on my list for 2019. Yes. What are the items on your list, Father? There's so much more to do, Lord. Yes. So many more ministries to touch, so many more people to touch, Lord. Let us, Father, supernaturally be debt-free from this building. That's one of the things that's on my list. Father, and thank you for the message. Thank you for the people that have come to hear a word, Father. Thank you that you bless my husband, Lord. He's prepared. He spent time with you, Father. So let the word come out, Father, with power and might, and let it fall on ears that are hungry to hear your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Thank you. What a blessing, right? Amen. Let's just end the whole thing now. Pick up the offering, right, everybody? Welcome to Living Faith Church. We want to welcome our first-time guests. Let's go ahead and give them a big, big hand. Come on, welcome them. Blessed that you're here. It'd be an honor to shake your hand. We'll be at the Welcome Center right after service, and I'd love to meet you there. Again, thank you for coming. Welcome to Living Faith Church. We're faith that you can see, faith that you can see as we gather, grow, and go. Amen. Well, welcome the Facebook Live audience. Thank you for coming and being part and setting us up on your mobile device or watching on your computer. You know, you could probably be doing anything else, but you put your attention on God's word, and we know you're gonna get spoken to today. Amen. If you could, the rest of us here, and also you, amen, if you're hearing me, check in on your social media devices, your phone, Twitter, Facebook, it'll float right up, Instagram, whatever it might be. Take a picture of yourself, put it on Instagram. Multiply the word of God, amen. The word of God should spread, amen, the gospel. So use your social media devices to do that. Many of you do that. Go ahead and jump on in and do that, and thank God. Do you have your message notes? If you don't, raise your hand high, raise your hand high. We have about 20 people, 200 people, that give them to you in love, and they'll hand them to you. A couple of things I need to tell you about at Living Faith Church. First Connection Lunch is coming up January 20th. It's a Sunday right after our second service, and I think they're trying to get that done and slide and put that on there, but as soon as they can, they'll put that up. January 20th, you want to be part of that. And if you've been just kind of checking Living Faith out, you want to be part of Living Faith and know the history, our values. And the interesting thing about Living Faith Church, we didn't really begin in the Nava's living room in 1998. We began in the 1930s, and we weren't even around then, but we began there. And we'll tell you the exciting story of how that began on the streets of Los Angeles during the Great Depression, and how a lady began the movement that we're part of, and we're so blessed to be honored. But you need to be part of that, especially if you're taking part in leadership activity here at Living Faith Church. Go ahead and be part of the family. That's good. Yes, everybody? The second thing, second slide that's up there, but we're going to go ahead and probably forego it, is there's a coming small group that you need to be part of. And maybe you need to even run it. You need to be the head of that small group. How we do small groups at Living Faith Church, we meet with you, of course, and we'll give you all the training. For example, our men's group that's going to begin on Saturday in about a week or so, all they're doing is reviewing, which is probably the best group, amen. All they're reviewing is my sermon notes that you get handed to you. They'll go over that and then pray for each other. And they'll eat a whole bunch of breakfast tacos. Isn't that good? Yeah. So that's even better. They'll meet here. Many of you, during the summertime, there was a fit group, and they didn't throw fits. They actually did the walking in Leon Creek and the trails there, and they rode bikes. And it was part how they began. They prayed together, and then they walked, and they ran, and they did sort of thing. So it was a fit. Anything that you enjoy doing, why not make it a small group? That's godly. Give me a good amen. Kind of godly. Amen. You may say, well, I enjoy drinking coffee. Why not you take a group of people and meet them at Starbucks or at gyms? You already meet with them. Make it a small group. Give me a good amen. So you can be a small group leader. If you're interested in leading one, it's not hard to do. Why don't you talk to me about it, and we'll get you ready to go. Amen. Thank God for 21 days of prayer and fasting. I know they're doing their best to get the notes. When stuff like this happens, it's because our computers crashed, and they're going to try to reboot it and do it. But in the meantime, I'll need to read the scriptures to you that aren't on your handout. These are extra notes. Why don't you go ahead and turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. Hear the word of the Lord. It says this, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 5. It says this, though we live in a world, we do not wage war as the world does, right? And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, are not like the weapons of this world. In other words, you're in a war and you don't even know it. Or did you know that you're in a war? Yeah, you have to recognize, you say, well, I'm not battling, you know, with a gun or anything, but you're in a spiritual war as God's child today. It says, on the contrary, we have power to demolish strongholds. And a stronghold is that thing that's on your resolution list that you just keep battling. You keep doing it over. And now 12 days in, 13 days into the new year, you've already fell off the wagon 6 times. Or you kept doing it, and you go, why do I keep doing it, and I don't want to do it? That's somebody say stronghold. And so it says how you do it. We demolish the arguments. It doesn't necessarily say how do you demolish that fortress or that stronghold, that evil castle. You do it by this way. You demolish it by, we demolish arguments and every pretense that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. An argument or a pretense right there is just something that makes itself or tries to make itself bigger than God. Lucifer is the highest ranking angel, the worship angel in the Old Testament. It tells a story. He tried to make himself bigger than God. And no one's bigger than God. No one's more powerful than God, right? And the devil's still at his old game. He's been at it as an old timer for a long time. He knows some stuff. And he tries to still do that, and he tries to make things in your life bigger than God. Well, that habit's bigger than God. Or that thing that you do that you shouldn't do is big, and so I'm never going to escape it. And that is a lie. It's an argument. It's a pretense. And it sets itself against the knowledge of God. Amen? And so it says this. So we take every captive thought and make it obedient to Christ. Right, everybody? You're not going to do that. No, you're coming with me. Come here in the name of Jesus. And you submit that thing, right? We learned the Greek definition of stronghold. And stronghold is this Greek definition, and it says this. Somebody say a prisoner locked by deception. In other words, the bars are wide open and the door is wide open, but they're still sitting in there like they're serving hard time. And the devil's duped them that way, and he's hoodwinked them that way, that you're still locked up and you shouldn't be because you're God's child. It says you're living a life of something that is not true. It's simply not true. And the devil does that in our lives. And so we want to expose the lie, and then somebody say, replace it with truth. Yeah, you overcome and break free. We're going to give you three truths during this time. We set a foundation last week, and you need to go ahead and watch that on Facebook or go back to our website, and you'll be able to hear it. And so the topic today is how addiction will lie to you and so forth. And so you're in church today. How many of you today, just a show of hands, be honest in church today. Come on, we're going to do a little bit of feedback. All right. How many of you know someone whose life has been wrecked by addiction? Yeah. Okay, you can put your hands down. Now, on this one, you can raise your hands or you don't have to, but I would not if I were you. I'd just give me one of these or go like this, you know. Now, how many of you know one of those addicts? Yeah, okay, you raised your hand anyway, amen. How many of you are one of those addicts? Yeah. You're honest in the house of God. See, everybody probably should have raised their hand, but we're holier than thou, right? To some degree. That's a drug addict over there, you know, trying to buy drugs underneath the bridge. Or that's that guy with that sex addiction or the gambling addiction, or he goes to Alcoholics Anonymous, and he's that. All of us, to some degree, have an addiction. You know what the word for addiction, the word for addiction is? Anything that I don't want to do, but I cannot stop doing. Oops, I did it again, right? And that's anything that you do that you don't want to do, and you can't stop doing it. You won't stop doing it. There's a funny story about Pastor Porfulio. Remember Pastor Porfulio? Con ganas, come on, everybody, right? And so he's advised by the doctor, man, hey, Porfulio, you got to lose 30 pounds. You're at serious risk, you know, health risk. So the good pastor, you know, Porfulio, he went on a diet, you know, and even changing his driving route because he would always drive by his favorite bakery, his favorite pan de dulce place, and he said, you know what, I got to go around because it's temptation. And so one morning he arrives at the church with this giant devil's food cake, and he's walking in, and all the church members, they all know he needs to lose weight. They're all looking at him and going, look, pastor, you know, fell off the wagon. They're chuckling. And he goes, no, this is a very special cake. I accidentally drove by the bakery today. And in the window was this cake and a bunch of other goodies. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, if you want me to have that delicious cake, there has to be a parking space right in the front of that bakery. And he said, brothers and sisters, after 8 times around the block, there was a parking space right in front of that bakery. Amen. Amen. Yeah. How many know all of us are a little bit like Porfulio? Yeah. We all have something in our lives that if we didn't do it, our life would be better. You might say, well, I'm not an addict. Well, how about that anger problem? Or how about that you eat too much of that certain food and you know it's the doctor's already told you or your family. How about too much of that sports team? Maybe it's too much work. You work too much, or some of y'all in there, you're shopping and you're sick, but while you're sick, you're still shopping. That can't be, stay at home and rest, all right? You're spending. Don't make me preach today. Don't look at her that way. Come on, everybody. We're addicted to media. And maybe your phone. We're stuck with our phones all the time. We even, when we take showers, we put the phone outside, but we, you know, just enough, right, to get wet. Yeah. Anything that we do too much, a behavior that we can't stop doing. I'm so thankful for the Word of God. It's honest with our struggles, right, everybody? It's a holy book. It's a holy Bible. But it has a whole lot of people in it that weren't holy, that were just like you and I, that had a mission in their heart and God still used them. They were extraordinary people, but they were just like you and I that had these. So the great apostle Paul that wrote half of the New Testament, very holy man, but he can identify with us this morning. He can say, you know what, I know what it is to have a bad habit or have something that's. And so if Paul has hope, I have hope. How about you? So St. Paul said this to the Roman church in Romans chapter 12, verse 7, verse 21. And so I find this law at work that when I do good, I want to do good, but evil is right there with me. In other words, they have that bad angel, and then they have the good angel. Which one's going to win? Which one's whispering in my ear, right? And for my inner being delights in God's word, that little angel man's telling me, but the little chamuco devil is up there telling me something. I delight in God's law. Hey, I'm a good guy. I follow Jesus, right? But look at this. But I see another law at work, and it's members of my body, and it's waging war. In other words, this is battle on the inside. No, do it. No, don't do it. No, do it. No, do it. You know, and against the law of my mind, making me a prisoner of the law. And sin is at work with my members. At the very end, he ends with this sentence, and it says, what a wretched man I am. Probably one of the most powerful things that can be in the Bible. In other words, I don't even like myself because I do all this. I'm disgusted, the shame that I have after this happens in my life. That's a child of God, and there's potential within that individual that God would help him today. Expose the lie, and expose the addiction. I have some extra notes for you, and it's going to be a little bit difficult, so hear me today, amen, because the notes aren't on the screen. Here's what addiction, how it lies to you. It becomes part of my identity. This is who I am. This is what I do. I've always been this way. My dad was mean. I'm mean, and we all have red hair, right? And it's a lie. The 12-step programs that we spoke about, like you have to confess at the end, even after 30 years of being alcoholic, not being an alcoholic, you always confess, I'm an alcoholic. I think it should not be that way because it should not be part of your identity. I spoke to one of the people at Living Faith Church, and they told me some bad news at their workplace. And I told them this. I said, you know what? You're a good person, and good things are going to happen to you this year. It's a new beginning. And when I said, you're a good person, they came back at me, I'm a good person sometimes. We all know what that means. They have this thing. Sometimes they're not good, and it became part of the identity. See, God sees you not as you are. He sees you as you are becoming and who you should be. There's potential within every heart here to become that child of God. The second thought is this. When I try to quit, I fail, and I become increasingly, somebody say, hopeless. Church people, you know, I've done all the stuff you preached about, Pastor. Hashtag still fail. Hashtag failure. I still fail. I fail over and over. But you know what? There's still hope in Jesus. Nobody is hopeless in this room, right? These are extra notes, okay, that you can take and you can look at. They're on the screen. Thank God. The third one is this. Any threat to my addiction becomes a threat to me. You put up this defense shield. And see here, check this out. Loved ones have told you in love, hey, you ought to not get so angry all the time. Or maybe you're drinking too much. Or maybe it's been one like a mama's told you, a son's told you, a daughter's told you, dad's told you. And they've already told you, and it becomes a threat. No. Don't be judging me. You know you're doing wrong, and you turn the table and make them feel bad about that. But you know what? They've told you, and you remember. I remember my mom told me something when I was a teenager.
And she didn't tell me in love. How many old Mexican mamas can speak that way? It was in the morning too, man. And she said, Mario, if you don't stop doing the blah, blah, and she just ripped into me. But you know what? I never forgot her doing that and saying that and marking me. And you know what? That habit that I was doing was going to kill me. It was going to destroy me. And Mama exposed it and told me, her love, right? She told me that I shouldn't be doing that. And I remembered, and it probably saved my life because I stopped doing it today. The thought is, another one is, I begin to lose my life. I'm past the point of no return. Yeah. And the good news about this one is, are you still breathing today? You woke up, yeah. So 2019 can be a year of redemption. Can be a new beginning for you today. And thank God, amen, a year of restoration for your life. And finally, the one that addiction lies, I ease the pain by getting my next fix. That means, you know what, and it doesn't work, you mask it. It comforts you for a thing, for a moment. You mask it, and it masks the pain. And then the hurt's still there afterwards, and that shame still hangs on today. That's how addiction is a liar to each of us in this room today. In Romans chapter 7, verse 24, the Message translation on the big screen today, it says this, I've tried everything, but nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Doesn't that sound like somebody that is addicted to something? Yes? Yeah. There's no hope for me. Can anyone help me? And that is the real question. And the answer, thank God, here it goes, is Jesus, right? Jesus can and Jesus does. I'm so thankful Jesus does stuff like me, right? How about you? He's still about it. He's still about helping people. See, it's in his power. And he acted to set things right. So 2019 can be better than 2018. And all life's contradictions, where I want to serve God with all my heart, with all my mind, but I'm pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally different today. The Bible is one flowing letter. In other words, when it was written, it didn't break down in chapters. It didn't break down in these passages. It didn't break down in just, you know, paragraphs and so forth. It just did. So it continues with this thought, and I'm so thankful for it. In Romans 8, chapter 1 and 2, are you there with me in your handout? Yes? Amen. Therefore, there is no, somebody say, there is now no condemnation, right? I long for a church that we don't put our Sunday on. You know what that is? It's when you put that, come in and you say, how are you doing? Well, I'm blessed. And you're all messed up inside, and you have the wounded that you took to church that you just beat up, and you're not that blessed. Don't lie that way in church. In other words, you can be real in church. We don't need to be a discouraging church, but you can be real enough like I'm hurting. And then you can say, you know what? What are you hurting about? What can we pray about? And you go, you know what? You know what? I'm hurting the same way. I'm a weirdo just like you. Yeah. And you find out that it's a real church and we're part of real people, and we know perfect people allowed today. Amen? For those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. God the Father never has whispered in your ear, and that was a false voice if you heard it this way, you're a mess and I'm wiping my hands of you, I'm tired of this. Humans do that. We do that in our relationships. But you know what God does? He has so much patience. He has so much love towards you. When he sees the mess you're in, you know what he says? He said, you're a mess, but I can give you life right now. I can give you the way out if you follow me and if you do the things I'm going to tell you about. See, God will convict you. And I'm so thankful for conviction because it saves your life today, and he'll show you the way out today. You have to follow Jesus, all right? What I've learned, 100% of people that are captive, that have a habit that they can't get through, what I've learned about this is this, that it's this thing called, the very root of it, it all comes back to this thing called idolatry. And idolatry is anything that you allow to sit on the throne of your heart, in the center of your heart, and rule and reign other than God. And that's where, well, no, I'm not, I don't light any velas or bow down or do the, all that thing, I don't do all that. You may not, but you have this power that controls you. And it's not just a habit. It's not just a habit, it's this love. You love to do it. It's a passion. It's a spirit. Well, gambling, yeah, I do gambling a little bit, but it's a spirit of gambling that's on you. I do this thing, illicit thing. Well, it's a spirit of illicit thing that you do. It's alcohol. No, it's a spirit of alcoholism that's on you. And you're a slave to whatever is on the throne, this little G in your heart, and it rules and reigns you. Who is the king of your heart? It should be that, right, everybody? And so you need to dethrone, because it's a spiritual battle, that little G, that little king, that little God, and dethrone that and put the King of Kings on your heart. The Lord of Lords. You missed a good time to say amen. Amen. God belongs in that rightful place. Nah, Pastor, it's not a spiritual battle. See, I take these pills. No. It's a spiritual battle, because those pills got a hold of you. It's spiritual, and you have to fight it spiritually and not in the flesh or not in the soul realm, or you'll always lose today. Overcoming addiction. I'm going to give you three principles today, making it real easy for you. Only one fill in the blank, but here we go. Number one, put God first. Somebody say, in every area of my life. When you're born again, aren't you thankful that you get out of hell free? You get that ticket. Do not pass go. You get a free, man, you get out of hell. I got Jesus. I'm not going to get, I don't have to go to hell anymore. But you know, it doesn't end there. And you're supposed to be active in this thing called Christianity and the walk of God. Because you didn't get shot right when you got saved, right? Jesus didn't shoot you. He wanted you to be a follower of him. He wanted you to go on this journey where sometimes it would be tough. Just like my wife testified about the journey of that great lady of faith. Amen. Journeys are tough sometimes, but God still wants you to follow on the road. Put God first. It defines being a follower of Jesus. You just didn't get saved. You became a follower of Jesus, so you have to put God first. Reorder your life. Jesus is my Savior. Thank God. But is he your Lord? You know what Lord is? Boss. Lord, is it okay if I do this? Lord, is it? Where do you want me to be on Sunday morning? I think he'd want you to be on church, right? Lord, do you want me to put God first? Amen. Reorder your life to follow Jesus. The Hebrew children were just like us. They were set free from Egyptian bondage their whole lifetime. All that they could remember was Pharaoh building pyramids and being enslaved. But they remembered these other little G gods, these other gods, the God of Baal, the God of the sun, the God of weather, the God of sex, the God of all these gods. And so they took that remnant, that thinking, out as they walked towards the promised land. And because of that, said, no, I need you to reorder your life. And so we look at the big screen with me. Let's say this together, because you haven't read, and some of you are getting bored because you're not participating too well. Let's go ahead and Exodus 20, 1 through 3, on 3. Ready to go? 1, ready? Ready? Are you going to read it with me? Yeah. 1, 2, 3. And God has spoken all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Amen. See, it's okay to have all these other loves. Amen. It's okay. But nothing should be higher than God. Amen. Put God first. Hit your neighbor and say, put God first. The Apostle Peter 3:15 said this, but in your heart set apart Christ as, in other words, he's the boss. It denotes of all your physical, your spiritual, your soul activity, that the wicked things get put aside and God is at the center of your life if you're a follower of Jesus. Give God the first of everything. Give God the first of everything and you'll watch how God will bless the rest. Amen. That means in the morning, you don't say, good morning, Today Show. good morning, America. No, you say, good morning, Lord. Yeah. Have a little prayer with Jesus. Have a talk with Jesus. Good morning, Facebook. No, good morning, Lord. Good morning, Twitter account. Good morning, email. Good morning. No, good morning, Lord. Pray. Amen. Seek God. Put Him first. Do you know the early Christians established church on Sunday because it was the first day of the week? They weren't cramped. You know why they did that? So the rest of the week would go good. Go to church the first day of the week. They wanted to make that the best day. They wanted to honor God with the first. God always blesses what's first. Give me a good amen. Why do we do 21 days of prayer? Because it's the first of the year, January 1st through the 21st. We sanctify the rest of the year. God, go before us. Amen. You say, man, pastor, I really haven't done it. Well, you can begin now. Amen. You can do it now. The second thought is this, about addiction and how to overcome it. Say no to the flesh. And I don't want to be cliche. That's real easy to say. No, it's a discipline to say no to the flesh. And 21 days of prayer and fasting has this way of disciplining us through the years over and over that the flesh is not going to rule. There are three parts to you. You may look at yourself right now. You may look at your neighbor. There are three parts to them. There's a spirit, there's a soul, and there's the flesh. The flesh is what I'm seeing right now, what you're seeing right now. Below that, there's a soul thing, and that controls your emotion. That's your mind and so forth. And the spirit even is deeper than that. Do you know when you got saved, that the only thing that got saved were the spirit? That got born again. Do you know what's not saved? Your soul and your body. And you know all three of those want to rule and reign and live large? Oh, don't they? They want to take over. That's why we have problems with our emotions. And you say, no, I'm not going to get depressed in the name of Jesus. I'm going to fight that thing and my spirit's going to override with 21 days. Yeah, yeah. And that's why the flesh, I got to eat that water burger with a shake. Amen. That's a vanilla shake that I drink. Amen. I just thought, I saw that. I'm coming back to that in 21 days. I'm coming back to you, water burger. Wait for me. Amen. Maybe for some of us, you know what a healthy way to deny the flesh? I mean, I've been on that phone too much, man. And it's not business. I'm doing too much social media. Put it down so you can deny that flesh so the spirit wins, amen? It's fun to be on it. You do business on your phone, but if it's too much, you're on that phone too much, put it down. I'll get back to you in 21 days. Put it, nothing will master me. The vanilla shake, amen. I'm going to put it away. It's not going to. Food will not master me. Not for 21 days. Not today. We're going to live different today. Romans chapter 6 verse 12 says this: therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Notice the spiritual. God wants to really reign, so it obeys its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body as sins, as instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourself to God. For sin will not be your master. Isn't that good, yeah? Galatians 5, 12, 24 says this. Those who belong to Christ, who belongs to Jesus? I belong to Jesus, amen. Have crucified sinful natures. You know, your problems aren't to be met, aren't to be like, I'm going to put you away till next week, but Friday night I'm coming for you. That's a problem. I'm going to put you away for 21 days, but I'm coming day 22. You're going to be there waiting for me in the drive-thru. You know what? Problems are meant to be killed because they're problems. Get rid of them. Amen. You crucify them. The passions and desires that are not of God, you kill them. I know a young lady that broke up with her boyfriend, maybe not after 21 days of fasting because I heard about it. Amen. We do it Living Faith style. We talk about people behind their back. Give me a good amen. It was a good report, though. She said, you know what? I have to break up with my boyfriend because I'm thinking of him too much, and it just shouldn't be because I'm a teenager. Wow. He's consumed my life, and he's a good guy, but I need to break up for him for my own spiritual walk. That's a good, that's a young person right there, amen? Yeah, amen. I want to encourage that young person. Keep going forward. God has a big plan for your life. Don't stop now, amen? This Native American missionary that went into the Indian tribes, he went into the days when they were in the 1800s, when they were putting them on reservations and so forth. And he went in, and there's this old chief, and the chief had accepted Christ because of his ministry, come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. But he had a troubled spiritual condition, and the old chief came to the missionary, which was his pastor, and said this. He said, you know what? I have like this wolf fight in me, inside of me. I got this black wolf, and he's evil, and he wants to do all these evil things and bring up all these bad habits and things that I don't want to do. But I got this white wolf, and the white wolf wants to do all the things of God, all the things that you're teaching us about. And he says, they war, and they just this battles within me. He says, how can I win? What can I do? And the missionary said, well, who usually wins? And he says, the one I feed the most. So if he feeds the black wolf more, that black wolf is going to win. If he feeds the white wolf more, the white wolf will overcome the black wolf, yeah. And so it is with the cardinal Christian. Carnal Christians are like this, Christians con carne. They're fleshy. They're meat Christians in their flesh. And they're more unhappier than even somebody that's lost. Because you know why? They know the truth. And they know that they shouldn't be doing that. Carnal Christians can be characterized, well, they're real critical. There's no submission in their life. They're envious. They stay away from the things of God. They don't pray. They don't read their Bible. They're living really on yesterday's leftovers. And they become carnal. They become bitter, and they get away from the things of God. The way that you get full of God is by continually being full of the Holy Spirit. All of us leak in this room. We're depleted. And that's why you just, Sunday morning won't do. You got to do more than on Sunday. You got to go Monday. You have to have some devotional life. Amen. The discipline of the flesh, you say no to it. For 21 days, say no. Whatever you starve will die. Starve the flesh, right? Starve the desires of the flesh today. A biblical principle is to crucify the flesh. King of my heart, Jesus, right? And then you say no to the flesh. And finally, number three, go all in with Jesus. Go all in. Somebody say with Jesus. Not halfway with God. Not 75% with Jesus. No, 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 I've tried that Christianity stuff. It didn't work. No, you didn't go all in with Jesus. It would have worked if you went all in with Jesus. There's a story of an aged pastor of a little Scottish church, and they're asking him to resign because he's had no conversions in Scotland in that church for an entire year. Says the pastor, yeah. It's been a lean year. But there's been one conversion. It's the best I got. One conversion, says the church elder, the church board. Who was it? It was Wee Bobby. And they had forgotten about this young lad that after the missionary spoke about giving his entire life, that somebody would do it, give their whole life, they would go all in for Jesus. How that little boy, that little lad, when the offering plate was going by because they were giving money for the missionary to go and preach more, that little lad told the usher, put the offering plate on the ground and I'm going to take off my shoes and I'm going to get into the offering plate. As a young boy, he said that. And Wee Bobby was the nickname that they gave him there in Scotland. But you know, Wee Bobby's name was Robert Moffat. As he grew older and he went to the mission field, he went to the furthest parts of Africa. Robert Moffat had revival in Africa because he gave it all to Jesus. And he turned the continent upside down for Africa. What does it mean to go in all in for Jesus? It means if I hold this blank paper up, and I have you sign it right here, and God has you sign it at the bottom. You put your signature, and then God fills in the rest. His will, His desires for your life. You've already signed it, a blank check. But He's going to put in the details of what you're going to do the rest of your life. Trouble, all. Goodness, yes. Victory, yes. Trial, yes. But God will be with you because you signed what God wanted you to sign today. Right, everybody? See, your heart longs for more than a worship experience here on Sunday morning. Your spirit, man, it wants so much more. It wants to live and thrive. It wants to do more. It wants to have more than this little devotional reading that you'll have in the morning. And it want, being a follower of Jesus demands everything, your whole life, to give it to God today. Amen. Romans chapter 12, as we conclude, verse 2, it says this, the Message Bible. Fix your attention on God. Why don't you test this? What would it be like in 2019 if you gave 2019 the whole year to God and you did what God told you to do and you lived for God, you did your very best? What would 2019 look like if you did this? It would look like this. You would be changed from the inside out, readily recognizing what He wants from you. I know the will of God. I know what God wants me to do today. I'm on mission for God. And you would quickly, no, I got to wait 3 years. I got to wait till that thing's been. Now, I would quickly, I would say, yes, Lord. I would respond to it, right, everybody? I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to their level of immaturity, God wants to bring the best out in you, right? Developed well-formed maturity in you. What you starve will die, but whatever you feed will... Whatever I feed will thrive today. Right, everybody? Listen, did you hear the word of God today? Are y'all on board? Amen? Why don't you stick your hands out just like this? Just like this, just for a little bit. I'm not going to do anything weird, but just stick your hands out. Why am I doing that? Just above your lap. Stick them out. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let's give them back 2019. Let's make it a declaration and prayer today. Lord, 2019, it's your year, Lord, to do what you want. Thank you, Lord. Take over my life today. Even as a God's child, put God first. Yeah, Lord, I'm giving you my life right now. You do the same. I'm giving you, Lord, the things that I think I own and I don't own them, Lord. This, my family's yours, Lord, the house. It's yours, Lord. I give it back to you. My life, Lord, this church, it's yours, Lord. This church is yours. Lord, everyone around me, my sons and daughter, Lord, my son and daughter, they're yours, Lord. I give them back to you. And Lord, even in my hands as they're extended, you're making a prayer. I say no to the flesh. I resolve to say no to the flesh. I will starve the flesh in the sense of I will say no to it. I will deny it. And Lord, I know what will thrive if I feed my spirit, man. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord promised me, as you continue to pray with me, you can put your hands down. The Lord promised me that for those that would walk with us on this journey, begin now, that it would be a year of get back, that you would get back all that the enemy took, the years, you would get them back. The innocence that you once knew, you would get that back. Your relationship with your children, some of you in this room. Some of you have been believing for your grandchildren in this room that you would be able to speak to them. There's one precious lady, the Spirit of God, just checked me on that. It may even be on Facebook. God's going to bring that relationship back with that grandchild in the name of Jesus. Yeah, I know you long for it, but bring it back, Lord. Bring redemption back. Everything with that locust stole and took, that canker worm took from your, God's going to bring it. He's going to restore you back during prayer and fasting, during these 21 days that are God's days in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. As we go in, all in for Jesus, there's this point of redemption as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. And I want to give you an opportunity to go all in for Jesus. That means you live for Him. That means you say yes to Him. He's your Savior today. You've never said yes to Him. How I do it at Living Faith Church right now, I never embarrass you, but I ask that your hand's lifted slightly. I'll note your hand right where you're at. I'll lead you in a prayer. If that's you in this room and you're far away from God and you've never received Christ as your Savior, this is your moment of favor. This is the moment that you say yes to Jesus. Again, no one will embarrass you because I know that tugging's taking place. I feel it. I know that you're saying no. This is between you and God. You'll pray right where you're at. And I'll lead you from the prayer right now. If that's you, would you lift your hand slightly? Say, that's me. Remember me in prayer. Come on, God's waiting. Yes. Young person, yes, sir. God's waiting. Yes. Somebody else making sure? Making sure. Just making sure. Lift your hand so I can see it. About two people lifted their hand right now in the presence of God. That's my brother. That's my sister. I want you to pray it loud enough that you can hear it in your own ear. The sinners that are saved by grace right now, that's us. That's me. I pray it. I'm going to lead it. The rest of the sinners in this room, along with myself, let's pray this prayer. If you lifted your hand, pray it loud enough that you can hear it in your own ear. Let's pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the blood of the cross. Someone had to die for my sins. And the most innocent man that ever walked the planet, Jesus, your son, died in my place. Thank you, Lord. Save me from my sins, Lord. Forgive me of my sins. I'm a new creation. In Jesus' name, I'll never be the same. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Yes, Lord. Yes. One more blessing. Would you receive it right now? Amen. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. And may the Lord give you his peace. Thank you, Jesus. Let's bless the name of the Lord. Come on. If you receive Christ, please fill out a connection card. If you have a prayer request, we take those. We hold those dear. We pray for those. And those are important to us. There's a connection card in front of you. Make sure that you take one and fill that out. Growing in faith happens at the Welcome Center that I'll be at. I can tell you more about that along with some of our leaders. They can tell you about when the Growing in Faith class will happen, which is in about a week or so. We'll tell you about that and get you signed up. You want to be part of that, especially in 2019 as you begin, right, everybody? We want to end with worship because worship is so important in how we end our church. And so I appreciate you guys hanging with me till the very end, right? We say the final worship time and we worship God with all of our hearts. We leave, amen, for a better season the Cowboys are going to have next year. Give me a good amen. Hey, I'm banking on the Spurs to pull us through, right, everybody? Amen. So we bought some good stuff. Amen. If you would, Alex Ruiz is going to come up along with our worship team. I've asked, Alex shared something so powerful on Wednesday night. I wish you could have all heard it. So I'm bringing her back to the platform so she can tell you about what God is doing and has done in her life. Alex, would you come? Amen. Because we're running out of time. Amen. There we are, Alex. So we're still waiting, and Alex is a blessing, right? So she's coming, amen. So, amen, there you are. Why don't we clap for her as she comes, amen. She doesn't, amen. Thank you, amen. You're a blessing, we appreciate you.
So Pastor wanted me to share my testimony with you guys. Mainly, primarily talks about tithing and how God has been faithful to me for tithing. But as he spoke today, all that he talked about, my whole entire testimony is basically ties into everything that he covered today. I've been coming faithfully to church for going on 3 years now. When I started coming to church, I was at my lowest where I needed God, and I cried out, and he restored me. He spoke to me, he restored me, and he just brought me back to life. But there was still not enough. So we began plugging into small groups. Monday night prayer night, we plugged in and doors started to open. Still not enough. Wednesday night, we're here Wednesday nights faithfully to everything that they do, whether it's an outreach or whether it's here with, you know, a small group here reading whatever pastor has to say. I plugged in. Still, something's missing. He was filling my life, but there was still things missing financially. I was always the tither that I believed, you know what, I have $5, I can tithe $5, I can tithe $10, I can tithe whatever little spare change I have, I'll tithe it to God. And then he finally started speaking to me fully, you know what, trust me more. You've trusted me so much already coming to church faithfully every Sunday. You've trusted me so much plugging into these small groups. Now trust me with your finances, and I'm going to bless you so much more. So when I finally decided a couple months ago to start faithfully tithing my full entire 10% to the church, first thing when I get paid Friday mornings, first thing I do before I pay any bills, before I do anything else, I get on the Living Faith app and I tithe my full entire 10%. Since I have been doing that, God has been opening so many more doors for me. For the past 2 years, I've been without a vehicle. I've been struggling. My mom's been helping me out with rides. My husband's been letting me use his car. I've rode the bus. We've done it all. I've gotten rides here and there, everything. So thank you to everybody for all their help. But I finally needed to step up and do it for me and provide for my kids. I don't make a lot of money, so I'm like, how am I gonna get a vehicle? God told me, you know what, you finally saved $300, go offer that $300 as a down payment and see what they say. Initially, they kind of laughed at me and they're like, $300 isn't gonna get you anything. And he told me, I need at least $1,000. All right, God, I'll pray, I'll see what I can do. The next day, he calls me and he says, you know what, I can get you in a vehicle with $500 down. This is the weekend before Christmas. $500 down, I can get you in a vehicle. Okay, I can do it. $500, you know, I'll get paid next week. If anything, if I have to wait till next week, I'll wait till next week. But no, that right after I got that phone call, I had a patient walk in and give me a Christmas card with the $50 bill inside of the Christmas card. So now I'm $150 away. And he tells me, you know what? Bring me the $300 that you have now, and I'll start drawing up the paperwork. And tomorrow, if you have the rest of the money, we'll drive you out of the car. All right, I'll do that. So I tell my boss, you know what? I have to go make a payment really quick. I'll be right back. I'm finally going to get my own vehicle. And, you know, he's been waiting for me to get a vehicle forever. Of course, your boss wants you to have reliable transportation to work. So he tells me, my Christmas present to you is I'm going to match you that $300 that you say you have. You still need money to put down. I'm going to give you that $300 so you can go put that $500 down so you could drive off the lot with your car today, now. Okay, so I go and I put the $500. Well, don't forget, you have to have insurance. Here I am, $500. You know, I only had $650, okay? $500 automatically goes to the car. I had already bought my mom lunch. I'm not going to lie. I bought my mom lunch. So I'm sure I'm down to like $100 now. Insurance is at least $200. What am I going to do now, $200? I call my husband. Hey, you know what? I know you've been struggling with working too right now, and funds are tight with us both, but I need money to be able to drive off with my truck, with the car, for me and the kids. Within minutes, he shows up. Here's $150. Here's enough for your insurance. Pay that. So I got the truck. That's not all, though. Now I have a truck. Now I have to pay for it every month. I'm already giving my 10% to God, and I'm, you know, making ends meet with my bills and everything else. Now how am I going to afford this payment every month? What am I going to do? I continue to pray to God. I'm praying and fasting. I gave up my social media because I do wake up and, wow, good morning, Facebook. But no, I put that aside, and now I'm learning to say, you know what? Good morning, God. Good morning, Father. Here I am. Here's my day before you. I've gone all in for Jesus. Yeah. I've come to church every Sunday. I plugged into small groups. I'm now giving faithfully. I'm going all in for Jesus, and he's doing the same back for me. My boss comes to me and says, you know what? You've been doing so great. You've been here 3 years. I'm going to give you a dollar raise. A dollar raise at a time? Now I have enough for my tithe. Now I have enough for my truck payments. Now I have enough to provide for me and my kids. And now I don't have a worry anymore. And just the point is, when you go all in for Jesus, he'll go all in for you. He'll give you everything that you need. Every need that you have to be met will be met, and he will provide that way for you no matter what you do. You just have to give a little before you can get a lot. Give him the 10, and he'll bless you with the 90 and even more so. So thank you, Pastor, amen, for being able to share that. And that's also right. Happy birthday.
Amen. 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 Hey, why don't you stay up here with me and agree just in prayer? Amen in prayer. And I told the first service, my one chick thing is I celebrate my birthday all month long. It's only one thing, though, right? Amen. So Alex mentioned just her giving, which is incredible in that sense. Some of the greatest people that at Living Faith are generous people. Amen. We do it as an act of worship. Why don't you get ready to stand to your feet? Because during the worship time right now, as the worship team leads us in worship, we'll give right now. If you have your seed and your offering and your tithe, you hold it in your hand. If you want to give above and beyond your tithe today, our clothing closet is a good place to sew. I think, Linda, if you can shout back at me if you're here, we're probably about $600 away from completion of project. Would we say that? Would that be a good idea? Yeah. We want to pay for it cash, of course, because we're already in debt. And again, you heard our proclamation this year for that. But we don't want to be in any more debt. We want to pay for everything cash. So $600 away from making a dream come true for our clothing closet. Amen. Let's call that in. Amen. Thank you, Father. Touch the people of the Lord. Thank you, God, for the tithe and the offering at Living Faith Church. We love you, Lord. And and then we love our church. And so thank you for the storehouse that it's full today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. I'm going to give one more announcement. Amen. And that's this one. It's this. And then we'll worship. Our Wednesday night at Living Faith Church is a blessing. But here's what's gone on in it. It's turned into a small group. And because of that, we even hire childcare for it as a church. Security team sometimes is on duty because it's dark on Wednesday night in the parking lot, of course. And I've realized it's better that it turns into a small group. So we will do first Wednesdays. We'll come together the first of the month, worship God as a church. But in between those Wednesdays, and then be the church at the very end, because we're an outreach church, we'll announce it. We'll keep it current on our website. We'll announce it on social media. But we won't be doing church in between. Now, if you want to lead a small group at Living Faith Church, amen. We got a building. Amen for you. You got to qualify for it, which is okay. It's not hard, like I told you earlier. But we're not going to do Wednesday night, because 10 people is a small group. Give me a good amen. And that's what it should be. So I want you to enjoy that time and realize on Wednesday night or during the week, it's not a time to take off. It's a time to plug into a small group. The youth will begin one. Howard told you about that. There's one on Monday night with our prayer ministry group with our ladies. You should be doing something during the week to come back together in a small group. Wherever two or three are gathered, there am I in the midst of them. Yes? So get addicted to Jesus. Go all in and be active during the week. Give me a good amen. God bless you as you worship God with me. Amen. As you thank God.
My chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains. Unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone.